Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. Today, Pastor Larry Spargimino concludes his new series, Examining the Abraham Proclamation. Friends, your faithful financial support has sustained Watchmen on the Wall these past 9 decades, and we need your help and support now more than ever. Your support will help complete our brand new television studio, sustain our hardworking staff, and ensure that the message that God is still on the throne and prayer changes things will continue to go out around the world. You can share your gift by calling 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also give at our website, swrc.com. Another way to show your support for SWRC is by naming Southwest Radio Church in your will. Call our office and we'll share the details on how you can leave a legacy and ensure this Bible-based ministry is here until Christ returns. 1-800-652-1144. Now, here's Josh Davis and Dr. Larry Spargimino.
I'm blessed to be joined again with Pastor Larry Spargimino as we continue this important discussion on his brand new book. It's so timely, it's so relevant, it's so thoroughly biblical. It's called The Abraham Proclamation. And friends, we encourage you to pick up a copy. I'll explain how you can do that in just a few minutes. But this book starts with the scripture, and that's where it must start for us. When we're talking about what we see in our world today, we have to start with scripture. And Pastor Larry does a good job of explaining what the scripture says about this person, Abraham, and then applies it to our world today and to the kinds of things that we see happening in our world today. So, Pastor Larry, we're glad to be joined with you again on Watchmen on the Wall.
I'm so delighted to be back with you and with our listening audience, and it's just a privilege to be able to share some of these great truths.
Yesterday, we were up against the clock, and you were just beginning to touch on the American response to what is happening in Israel, especially the Biden administration and how they are responding to those kinds of things. I know you had a few more things that you wanted to say, so why don't we just pick up the conversation with where we left off yesterday and explain some of the ways that the Biden administration is handling this current situation in Israel.
Well, Joshua, as I touched on in our previous program, I think the fact that the administration one day says, yeah, we have an ironclad defense with Israel. Very strong words. Ironclad means it's unbreakable. And then the next day, they withhold bombs or ammunition or whatever. And I think the protesters, as a matter of fact, after it was announced that the Biden administration was holding back ammunition or bombs or whatever, the protests once again were started. It really rose. It's like, you know, throwing some gasoline on a fire. And that's exactly what I think this administration wants. We never see anything coming from this administration that is really pro-America. You know, we may say, yeah, we're pro-America. The border is secure. We know it's not secure. I mean, there are some 30 million immigrants that we don't know about in America. That's not a good situation. So I think the fact that we are sending mixed signals to the terrorists, to the protesters in America, is very, very damaging to the cause. And I believe that's one of the ideas that we see with globalism. As a matter of fact, I remember in the Vietnam War, I didn't know very much about geopolitics, but one of the things that struck me was that we were not fighting that war to win. For example, the rules of engagement were really, as far as I'm concerned, stupid. If trucks were coming down carrying supplies, if they were on the Ho Chi Minh Trail, they could be bombed. But if they went off the trail and if they hid under trees, you couldn't touch them. Now, what's the purpose of that? I mean, why are we doing everything to undermine a quick victory? And a quick victory is wonderful, you know, but when it prolongs, we look bad, accidents happen. We accidentally kill some civilians. And of course, the newspapers. I remember Walter Cronkite during the Vietnam War. He was really very upset with America, and it just went on and on and on. So I think we need to take a stand. We need to stand with Israel. And by the way, the Biden administration has said the Israelis need to do this and they need to do that. That's nonsense. The Israelis know how to win a war. They know more than the Biden administration does. And to say, you know, they've been in wars for so many years, I think it's very unfortunate. But what is happening, I think a lot of people are beginning to wake up. Why that? Why don't we end this thing? Why don't we take a strong stand? And people are realizing there's something afoot that's not right. So that's my take on it.
Well, thank you, Pastor Larry. Friends, we're visiting with Pastor Larry Spargimino and discussing his brand new book, The Abraham Proclamation. And Pastor Larry, we know that the majority of Palestinians voted for Hamas. And sometimes when people hear what you just said, and we're talking about we stand with Israel, and we certainly do stand with Israel, but they say, oh, that means you must hate the Palestinians and you are anti-Palestinian. But we, as I said, we know that the majority of the Palestinians voted for Hamas and actually approve of this tragedy that happened on October the 7th. You know, there's many people who do hate the Palestinians, but Jesus said that we're supposed to love our enemies and to pray for those who persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely.
Amen.
So
Amen.
Are the Palestinians an exception to this rule? Is it okay to hate them in the eyes of God? How should we view them as Christians from a biblical perspective?
We shouldn't hate them. I know some people love to hate Palestinians, and when you hear Palestinian supporters trying to justify the tragedy of October the 7th, it's almost a knee-jerk reaction. But I think hatred and vengeance, you know, the Lord says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. I do believe in justice, but there's a difference between justice and vengeance. And you know, I've personally wrestled with a situation in my own life that somewhat parallels the situation with the Palestinians. My wife of 61 years was killed in a DUI accident that occurred about 2 a.m. Sunday morning, December the 10th, 2023. Now, it's easy to hate the person who stole an important part of my life from me. It's the most natural thing to do, to hate that person. But I don't believe that we need to operate in the natural, but in the spiritual and in the supernatural. I would like to see the DUI driver saved, and I would like to be the individual who shares the gospel with her. I love to look at Luke chapter 23, verses 33 and 34. Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Not only did Jesus ask the Father to forgive this murderous crowd, Jesus gave the Father a reason for doing so. They know not what they do. It's like a lot of protesters who support Hamas and the Palestinians. They don't even know what they're protesting. You know, you ask some of them, why are you protesting? And one guy will look at it and go, well, yeah, why are we protesting? They don't know what they're doing. They're out of their mind. Everyone else is doing it. We'll join in. So that's not good behavior. It's bad behavior. The people in Jerusalem who wanted Jesus to die did not really know what they were doing. In fact, there were so many ways that Jesus demonstrated his love and his grace for them, but then the religious leaders came and stirred up the fire, so it was a very, very negative situation. There was a mob frenzy, and everyone was caught up in the excitement, and so they were out of their minds. And this DUI driver was out of her mind. There were both drugs and alcohol in her blood. She was fully responsible when she took that first drink and when she popped that first pill. I understand that. She deserves to be punished. But the fact is, we all deserve to be punished and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, our sin, all of us, the human race, is heinous because of whom we have sinned against. You know, if I'm walking down the street and decide to punch someone in the nose, I will probably be arrested. But if I did that to the President of the United States, I would be in big trouble. He's somebody important. But you and I well know we have not sinned against a human, a king, or a president. we have sinned against Almighty God, an infinite being. Annihilationists say that eternal punishment is immoral and God would not do such a thing, but they forget that sin, our sin, is against an eternal being, an infinite being, and deserves an eternal punishment. You know, I believe in justice, but I also believe in forgiveness. When I see somebody on the street, somebody who's homeless, somebody who has wrecked his or her life, I often think, there go I, but for the grace of God. We need to love the Palestinians. They've been deceived. Of course, a lot of them have been killed. I know that's true. And I know why, because the Israelis have been trying to defend themselves and they send those little bumps on the roof. You know, they send pamphlets, get out of the building, in 30 minutes it's going to be destroyed. Sometimes they drop a small munition on the rooftop. But there's so much confusion, so much hatred. They've been stirred up. I really think they're victims of a bad religion. And there's so much we could say about radical Islam. I think they're victims of the misinformation that they've gotten. And so I pray for them. I think we all need to pray for them. And we need to realize that there are some of them who have gotten saved and are now following Jesus. And that just stirs me up some more. And I pray that their souls and their bodies would be saved.
Amen. Thank you for that perspective, Pastor Larry. You know, as you said previously, God isn't willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That certainly applies to both Israel and to the Palestinians. We pray for their salvation. We pray that the Lord would get the gospel into their heads, into Amen. Their ears, into their eyes, into their hearts, so that they could respond to that and be saved and delivered from their sins for Amen. All of eternity. And Amen. Who knows what God could accomplish in and through this season that we are experiencing in our world right now. Well, friends, we're visiting with Pastor Larry Spargimino as we're discussing his brand new book, The Abraham Proclamation. And so we encourage you to pick up a copy of the book if you haven't already. You can find that at swrc.com. Again, that's swrc.com. You can call us and order a copy of the book by calling 1-800-652-1144. Now, we have a special bundle of the Abraham Proclamation with two other of Pastor Larry's wonderful books, Preterism on Trial and Calvinism on Trial. So when you call us, ask for the special discount on this three-book bundle. You can visit swrc.com and find that on the website as well. Pastor Larry, let's continue talking about Palestine and Palestinian. These specific terms, Palestine and Palestinian, are the Palestinians a distinct ethnic group from other people with their own distinct ancient history?
No, absolutely not. Palestine, the word, is a region. It's a general area in the Middle East. It is never the name of a people or an ancient civilization. For example, we read of the Babylonian Empire, but we never read of the Palestinian Empire. We read of the Persians, referring to a race of people and a nation, but we never read of the Palestinians, referring to a race, which is not surprising, because there's no Palestinian race. These are Arabs from different parts of the Arab world that came into the area. Many of them came to work in Israel because Israel is a booming, blossoming economy. They settled in their own areas and so forth, but there's no distinct Palestinian people. As a matter of fact, the word Palestine often means Israel. There are a couple of good examples of this. For example, the Jerusalem Post was founded in 1932 during the British Mandate and was originally called the Palestine Post. So Jerusalem, Israel, Palestine, all basically the same. And then the Palestine Symphony Orchestra was founded in 1936. It later was called the Israel Philharmonic Orchestra. So you can see how Palestine and Israel, Palestine and Jerusalem, are somewhat interchangeable to speak about an area and a region. We sometimes hear that the Jews are living in, quote, occupied territory, as if the territory originally belonged to a race of people, the Palestinians. Well, that's simply not true. The Israelis never invaded Palestine. They're not occupying anyone's territory. It is their own territory. And I keep on hearing that Israel is really an occupier. No, it's not. It has been Jewish territory for at least 3,000 years. And this land, Israel, does not have ancient Palestinian artifacts. Rather, it has ancient Jewish artifacts. So you would think if there was a Palestinian culture, a Palestinian empire, you would dig in that area and you would find a lot of Palestinian artifacts. You don't find that. They don't have a special language, a special culture that's completely different based on a different ethnicity. As a matter of fact, the Palestinians know this and they're actively engaged in destroying ancient Jewish sites. These ancient sites, going back many thousands of years, are irrefutable evidence that the land belongs to the Jewish people. This is what is so tragic to me. You know, our colleges and universities are supposed to be causing people to think, to investigate. Well, this whole issue about the Jews being in occupied territory, there's no historical support of that. History doesn't support it. Genetics doesn't support it. And yet, so-called educated people get caught up with some kind of a craze and they start demonstrating and they start protesting. It is very, very sad that this is happening.
Friends, we're visiting with Pastor Larry Spargimino and we're discussing his brand new book, The Abraham Proclamation. Now, Pastor Larry, you were just touching on the history, the archaeology that we see in the land. And I know that when we were in Israel, we had the opportunity to sit down and talk with Avi Lipkin. That interview was recorded, and we have it available from swrc.com. But this is one of the things that was near and dear to his heart. And this was about a month before the October 7th attack that we sat down and filmed this with Avi Lipkin, of how that they were trying to destroy Mount Ebal. Here it is in what is known as Palestinian territory and an archaeological site that could very likely prove that Joshua was there and he built that altar, right, and that the people of Israel lived there and settled that exact territory. And Muslims were trying to destroy, to bulldoze that site, and Israel was trying to get some kind of protection so that it could be protected by the government and guarded against destruction because of its historicity. But it's proof coming out of the ground that here was Israel in this land, and Joshua was there present at Mount Ebal. And we see that this is coming out of the ground and to prove, to verify what the scripture says, right, and to authenticate the record that Israel was there in the land.
Right.
And so we see that this is happening all throughout history. Friends, if you want to get a copy of this book, you will be informed with its current teaching. It's relevant, it's historical, it's biblical, it's so timely. I encourage you to pick up a copy of the Abraham Proclamation by calling us at 1-800-652-1144 or by going online to swrc.com. That's swrc.com. We also have a special bundle right now with this brand new book, along with two other of Pastor Larry's favorite books, Calvinism on Trial and Preterism on Trial. We encourage you to pick up this special bundle when you call us or when you go online to swrc.com. Now, Pastor Larry, you write that the story of Abraham is still being written. Well, what do you mean by that phrase?
Joshua, current events make it seem that the story will end on a note of frustration because there are certain frustrating things that are happening, and that maybe it will end on failure. So, yes, the story is long. The story shows some surprising developments that might be hard to understand from simple observation and unaided human reason. But the Abraham Proclamation still rings loud and clear for those who will listen. And the story is not at all finished. In fact, there's a lot more to the story. And of course, you will only get into that if you read the scriptures. And I often think of, you know, Hamas and all of the terrorists. If they read the Bible, if they read the Jewish scriptures, they would know that what they're doing and what they're attempting to do will not succeed. We see that there is a believing acceptance of Jesus Christ. I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me. Now remember, God is speaking here, whom they have pierced, that's Jesus Christ, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. And then Zechariah 13, 1 and 2 follows in this vein of repentance and spiritual renewal. It says, in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. Could you imagine that, cutting off all remembrance of Israel's sin, idol worship, all their failures? And the prophet Isaiah reveals that after this coming day of salvation for Israel, God will look back and he will say, and I'm quoting from Isaiah 54:7, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies I will gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Isaiah 54, 7 through 10. This is the final story, and it's a victorious story. It's a story that shows that God has not forgotten his people. God has not forgotten his promise to Abraham and to his descendants. And one day the whole world will know and will listen to the Abraham proclamation.
Amen, Pastor Larry, and we appreciate you sharing these wonderful truths. And friends, there's so much more information included in this special resource. It's called the Abraham Proclamation. You can pick up a copy by calling us at 1-800-652-1144 or by visiting us online at swrc.com. And in our Prophetic Observer, which is a free monthly newsletter, you may be a new listener. We encourage you to reach out to our ministry, get on our mailing list, and you'll start receiving the Prophetic Observer newsletter that includes some timely articles from folks like Pastor Larry Spargimino and myself and others who will often write articles. But we've been featuring a three-part series from Larry Stamm, a colleague of SWRC, and he's been writing about Romans chapter 11. And there's a very pointed question right at the beginning of that chapter, Romans 11. It says, has God cast away Israel? And of course, Paul uses the strongest negation possible. No way, we would say in today's modern English, no way he has not cast away his people. So we know that God has a plan and purpose for national Israel that is still future and still going forth even in our very day. Now, Pastor Larry, what are some other thoughts that you have towards these kinds of things?
Well, you know, Joshua, we follow the story of Abraham through the biblical account. We've moved into present-day conflicts that are still raging. And as we look to the future, we see how it all turns out. You know, God has a plan that is revealed in the Bible. And I love that. He's not capricious. He's not waiting to see what's going to happen. Oh, if this happens, I'll do this. If that happens, I'll do that. No, that's not what goes on in the mind of God. Different sections of Scripture deal with different aspects of the plan. We can't escape the fact that the Bible is a Jewish book with a focus on Israel and the Jewish people. God loves Israel, but he also has a plan for non-Jewish people because he loves them too. Jesus was a Jew, but he also gave instructions to make disciples of all nations. And I just love missions, and I think of our Lord and his earthly ministry. He left Israel on occasion, went north, where he ministered to a Canaanite woman and her demon-possessed daughter, Matthew 15, 21 through 28. thus setting an example for us. And yet, Jesus never canceled his plans for Israel. The Abrahamic covenant still stands. I find people divide over this whole question because they only look at certain parts of the scripture. But once again, we need to remember that there is basically one author to scripture, God, the Holy Spirit, and he is not confused. We need to read the whole book and see how it all fits together. Then we will understand God's plan for Israel, for the Gentiles, and for the whole world.
Well, friends, you can pick up a copy of this important book, The Abraham Proclamation, by calling 1-800-652-1144 or by visiting us online at swrc.com. Don't forget, we've got a special 3-book bundle, including this brand new book, along with Calvinism on Trial and Preterism on Trial, also written by Pastor Larry. And you can pick up all 3 in a bundle at a special price at swrc.com or when you call us at 1-800-652-1144. Pastor Larry, thank you so much for your time and for these interviews over the last 3 days. And I pray that God will bless you and bless this book as it goes forth to people.
Thank you so much, Joshua. It's a pleasure to be with you.
The tragedy in Israel of October 7th has touched off a firestorm of confusion. The confusion can be dissipated by looking to Scripture to see what God says about Israel, the Palestinians, and which side Christians should be on. The Abraham Proclamation, the brand new book by Dr. Larry Spargimino, takes the reader back to the Bible. What does the Word of God say about this hot topic? Pastor Larry examines the Abrahamic covenant, its promises, and its fulfillment. He deals with replacement theology, the Catholic Church's position, the Biden administration's waffling, and the Lord's amazing conversion of former Palestinian terrorists. The Abraham Proclamation, Hamas, Apostate America, and God in Conflict provides both information and inspiration to the reader and will be a helpful resource for pastors, Sunday school teachers, and all who want to be informed. Order your copies of the Abraham Proclamation today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order on our website, swrc.com. The Abraham Proclamation by Dr. Larry Spargimino. 1-800-652-1144. Lord willing, we'll be back here Monday, ready to once again bring clarity to the chaos. Head into the weekend with the encouragement that God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners just like you. Visit swrc.com. That's swrc.com.